When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The choice of a lawyer is important and shouldn't be based on an ad.
If you're seriously hurt in an accident, you'll want all the money you deserve. That's called justice. But there wouldn't be lawyers if justice was easy. No, justice is not easy. It's fought for and it's won. At Brown & Crouppen, we fight for justice every day. If you want some, call 222-2222. Because at Brown & Crouppen, justice is our business.
Put me on a timesheet. I will be gone forever. Use me or lose me. Let's get away.
It's getaway time. Get our best deals of the season on a new Hyundai. It's your journey. Own every mile at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR, zero payments for 90 days, and 1,000 bonus cash on select vehicles. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Hurry. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event ends January 3rd. Call 1-562-314-4603 for offer details.
105.7 HD2. The Ryan Kelly Morning After.
Well, it's springtime in Normandy on the Rock Road. It's the Do-O-O-Tum and the Hoosiers of the game. Who'll be buried in the sunflower garden on Friday afternoon?
What's in perspective?
Who'll walk that 18th fairway singing this tune? Free Dodo, your stepdad's in bleach. They play on my mind like a song. Free Dodo, it's you that I love. It's you that I miss when I'm gone. Well, it's Iggy and Swole, DJ Gabe, Timmy Tom Tom, Moe Sween, and it's the Tushy Booth, and it's Timmy's perfect swing.
Changing, no doubt.
Chipped to 15 feet, then made Cletus kiss him. And the spirit of Larry Nickel keeps it alive. Free Dotem, your stepdad's in bleach. They play on my mind like a song. Free Dotem.
He's at 8 seconds.
You that I love.
He said he couldn't hear the music when he was singing.
No, I think they recorded it separately.
Which is not a good idea.
It is not.
The legions of Cat's Army.
Cat's Army.
T-shirts. The wooden shafted legend of Doug Vaughn.
And then he just ends.
That's it.
Could have used another line or two just to got to tie a bow around the end.
I don't know, maybe there are too many lines in it.
I guess he had to go. He was busy at that point. All right. What's a nice little
does it get you in the mood for the Dotem presented by Michelob Ultra, Family Golf, and Munger?
Should, yeah. Probably should for a lot of people. I don't know what more you want than that. That's music that makes a hair on the back of your neck stand up.
Does it get you in the mood for the Fan Page Club Championship this afternoon? Plowhawk versus Chris Heck and me versus Matt. Is it Portel, Doug, or is it Portal?
Fortel's Pizza. That's right. What it is.
Now, Jackson, you're still on the bag. You don't have to.
50-50.
Oh, wow. Jackson's backing out.
Look,
busy day today.
The reason I say this, Jackson is a superstar in terms of working his tail off here. Videos he's editing, that's not really even in his bailiwick, but he does it because he loves the show. And I just can't commend him enough for it. So I understand how busy of a day it is. If you cannot, Jackson, I will be just fine with that.
I appreciate you. With Dotem coming up and
gotcha.
Everything involved with that, I got it.
Completely get it. So There will be, I mean, if he can't make it, perfectly fine.
I might still be able to. Depends how much, how deep into this Dotem video I get. I got a good headway on it yesterday, so hopefully I'll be good.
We shot video on Friday of all of our sponsors, the holes they sponsor, and Dogtown Ty.
Shout out to him. Drone.
He is awesome.
Yeah, that video is so sick. Oh, my God.
So that's what Jackson is working on. We voiced it on Friday at Normandy. We had the over-under. Who's in the hallway? Is that Roz Jericho?
I was just saying hi to Chris Jericho.
I actually love Chris Jericho.
I brought him up.
Okay. All right. You brought him up?
Yeah, I was outside and he was coming in, so I brought them both up.
Look at, who else is with him?
His handler.
Oh, nice. Abby. What did you guys talk about?
Fozzy, his band.
Yeah.
His band? That's what he's in town for?
Yeah, his band rocks, man. Maybe I'll play some Fozzy at 9 o'clock.
Is he going to come in?
Nah, he's on the point in case she...
Does he know about HD2 radio?
Well, I pointed to the... He was looking at the thing. He goes, yeah, we're on that point. They're on KC. I said, we're at the bottom. And we actually do a wrestling segment on Tuesday.
Well, he knows about Larry Nichols.
Well, he knows about him. He said, sorry, no time. I didn't even ask.
Wow, and he still said, sorry, no time. He volunteered that he wouldn't be available.
I said, well, I wasn't asking.
Strike.
I wasn't asking.
He saw the Nikki Glaser thing, and he knew.
Yeah, I heard about you. You're probably nervous. That's who I was talking to.
Doug, Chris Jericho in the hallway here. You just look out and there's stars walking up and down the hallway. I'm not talking about like we're brokering time stars. I'm talking about
what do you mean?
Real stars. Yeah. David Freeze walked by one day.
Nikki Glaser was in studio. Also hugged Iggy last week or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now Chris Jericho. All right. It is our appliance discounters. 8 o'clock hour. We were out at Normandy on Friday. That video is what Jackson is going to be working on, so he might not be on the Plowhawks bag against Chris Heck, who designed these TMA head covers, which are now available.
What up, Heck?
At TMASTLShop.com, and there are 70, and so you best get them quickly, because based on what I'm seeing here, they are moving, and they are moving quick, fast, in a hurry this morning.
I say they're gone by the end of the day.
Jackson, do you think that's a...
No, I don't think that's realistic. 70 head covers in a day.
Wow, that's black. There's like, what, 300 people watching? Another million listening?
A million people are listening to this. A million.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm just verifying.
We have a million
verifying
a day?
Jericho heard that and goes, God, why don't we go on that show?
Right.
They're too nice, too. They're not loud. Like, you know, I have a shark head cover. I have a nice Billiken head cover. These are just basic black and white with TMA and our logo right there. They're sweet looking.
Yes, they are.
They are really cool. So, and there's only 70. I don't think they'll sell it, but they're going to move quickly. So get in there while you can and get them. Otherwise, you'll be left behind.
Yep. And then brand new T-shirts. We said Mike Flanagan, who designs the T-shirt, and he works with Kim in Utah. He said... The issue sometimes is that their designer just falls behind because they're handling a variety of different companies' merch. So if our listeners wanted to come up with ideas and then design them, then they can print them and move them quicker. So if you are a graphic designer and you want to make some money, you give the idea and we'll shoot you $100 just like that. But we have Kroenke Sucks, Puck Kroenke, the Stan Kroenke Clown Nose, and in honor of the Craig Berube post-game speech, Kids, Vacuuming, and S. Those are all up at TMASTLShop.com. In addition to, if we can just get hot, we can win this baby, plus the TMA logo, the B-Fib shirt, all the TMA merch is at TMASTLShop.com, including that head cover. For your golf clubs, TMASTLShop.com. Brand new stuff just came out this morning. Thank you to everybody who submitted designs. And if you have design ideas, make the design. TMASTLShop.com is where you can see it. Email me, tmckernan@insidestl.com, and then I will get it to Mike Flanagan. There it is. And think about
it. I'm sorry. Think about it. Can I thank somebody real quick?
You
talking
just
about design.
His
no, it's talking about design. And
he wasn't done.
He said, think about it. And I said, think about it.
Didn't quite,
I apologize to him.
Didn't quite get it.
But I want to show people this. I want to show people this because he talked about design. And I think I think this gentleman could design something for us. Remember when somebody put that like skeleton head on the fan page and said, here, this would be cool, and it had all these things.
No, do you remember when somebody put this on?
No.
I'll show you.
No, I don't.
Remember this.
It's something you're wearing
now. Are you wearing a an iron-on patch right there on your jacket? Is that what that is?
Are you showing Tim your breasts?
Clip that off. Snag that audio. Iggy is now at YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, Iggy is showing.
Jesus.
Yeah, most of the million people aren't on YouTube, so tell them what you're doing.
It's a design this guy did, and I apologize, I forgot your name. You DM me and told me you were sending me this.
Perfect. I want to thank this guy.
Well, Chuck got a wristband in this.
Now, how we figured it out, I don't know, but I do believe in it.
Well, he knows who he is if he's listening. He sent me a DM and said he was sending me something, and I had no clue who it was or what he did. But then when I saw the design, I remember him putting it on the fan page and apologized to me if it made me look bad with a skeleton head. But then he put Kenneth Stroh Design on there, and he sent it to me.
Where's all this going?
Maybe he could design a shirt for us. Tim is asking for real designers. He's a real designer. He did this whole design and put it on the shirt. So if you have some ideas.
His name is Bill.
I forgot his name.
This is brutal.
Well, I'm sorry I brought it up.
I'm not.
I'm really just, I'm terrible with names, and I get so many DMs that I forget who sends me things. So Jennifer sent me a nice mixer. Thank you to Jennifer and a spatula. That came over the weekend. Thank you, Jennifer.
Didn't forget her name.
Mixer and a spatula.
Didn't forget her name.
What in the world? This is plugola, payola, all that.
It was a listener. It's no payola.
Why did she send you the mixer?
I feel bad. on my cooking show Wednesday, which was seen by like 3 people.
Huge.
A little less than a million that are listening to this show.
I may be done with the cooking show.
Oh, no.
It is embarrassing. 3 people.
Well, do it after 5 o'clock.
Well, I eat at 4.
Well, then there's your reason why.
Well, I mean, I do it at 4, and even on bad days, I have 25 at 3.
People are
I guess one of the people watching was Jennifer, and I wasn't asking for this. I really wasn't. I was in the middle of doing a gooey butter cake.
Seriously, I need to hear that soon.
No, I did. It's on. You can go watch it on my Facebook page. I did the Wahoo that Doug had
with
some asparagus, but I also did a gooey butter cake. And as I was doing it, I had to mix it with a spoon and a fork because it's really thick. And I said, you know something I've never owned? I've never owned a mixer. I said, I just always do it with a fork or a spoon. I've never owned a mixer. And I wasn't asking for a mixer. I just said, it's probably easier with a mixer, but I just don't own a mixer. Jennifer sent me a
mixer.
Hamilton Beach
Scoville? Hamilton
electric,
Beach
electric, Scoville? Electric mixer. I've never owned one, so I have one. So thank you to Jennifer.
And a spatula.
I used to work with a pastry chef from Bombay. His name was Mesvin.
Mesvin had one.
I didn't have one.
Guys, Andrew is in the YouTube chat, and he says this was a design that Iggy ripped on the air, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I did.
I remember that vividly.
I did.
You ripped the design on the air, and then he sent it to you, and now you just thanked him, but you didn't remember his name.
Well, I apologized to him. I thought it was a shot. He had all these Iggy this, Iggy this, Iggy this, all these lines pointing to a skeleton face.
If I remember correctly, Tim, he ripped it a new one. It wasn't a subtle shot.
But when I found it wasn't a shot, he was just having fun. I said, that's fine. And I apologized to him in that thread. I said, I apologize. I said, you're very talented. And then he sent it to me.
Doug's glue guzzler texted to say, answer the phone, so I guess he's trying to call.
Yeah, it happens. I can't even see the line up here.
636-9004 TMA if you want to call in, but text into the show, and then I'll text Jackson and let them know the phone's ringing, and then you get on the air.
So easy.
And I apologize, Tim. I really hijacked the F out of that.
That's great.
Everything's at TMASTLShop.com. Hey, for Father's Day, Sound Story is a perfect gift. We have a number of them this week, but you can just get a gift certificate right now, and it's something that you will love, having your father's story in his voice, interviewed by Doug, interviewed by Learn, or interviewed by me here at Hubbard Radio. Go online at mysoundstory.com to get your gift certificate or to schedule your interview. Usually record them here. Doug usually in the 10 o'clock hour after TMA, me usually in the 11 o'clock hour after TMA and Balloon Party, and Learn before she does Afternoon Drive on KC95. It is Sound Story at mysoundstory.com, company I started a few years ago. We love the opportunity to talk with people and have their stories recorded forever in their own voice, talking it over with us here. mysoundstory.com.
You got one today, don't you?
Doug is actually going
perfect
today.
Father's Day gift.
It is indeed. MySoundStory.com. And the Learn one that you did with you, Jackson, I know you were busy. You had the drive to Columbia, and then you were hanging out there this weekend. What is the status of the Iggy Learn?
It's today might be tough for me to listen to it and post it, but I can almost certainly get it up tomorrow.
What are we? I can do it. Just what are we in terms of listening for? Are we trying to pinpoint something we don't want?
You just always want to listen to stuff before you put it up.
Yeah, well, I told Jackson Friday. I said, look, I don't care when you put it up. You're busy when you get to it. I said, just know that you have the go ahead to listen to it, and you edit whatever you want to edit. Leave in whatever you want to leave in. I trust you, so.
Yeah, we can.
Get to it whenever you get to it. I don't really care.
There you go.
As long as everything goes smoothly today with everything I got to do, then we'll get it up tomorrow.
There you go.
Pause. You pop me down. I got to answer this.
Oh, I got you, dude.
Damn.
Oh, man.
I feel for him so much.
Like, didn't get him potted down quite quick
I want to help him out. I know he says he has about 15 minutes left to listen. If he's listened to the first 30 or 40 and that was fine, I can listen to the next 15.
I think I'm the one who's listened to the first 45. And then I don't know if Jackson's listening yet. Let's see. Appliance Discounters, your hometown appliance source, featuring major brands like GE, sponsor here of our 8 o'clock hour. James Carlton is my insurance agent. I'd like to recommend him to our audience, 314-961-4800, or go online at carltoninsurance.net. James Carlton and his team in the office and answering calls right away during business hours. You won't be passed around through some kind of automated service. When it comes to things like home, life, auto insurance, you want to make sure things are taken care of quick, fast, and in a hurry. If you're buying a home, getting married, or have a growing family, make sure your loved ones will be okay if you don't make it home. Call James at 314-961-4800 or go online at carltoninsurance.net to see just how inexpensive it is to protect your family through term life insurance. Although the worst is unlikely, none of us would leave the driveway without strapping our little tykes into a car seat. Life insurance is no different. Although it's not likely that you don't make it home tonight, it's not a risk worth taking when it comes to providing for your loved ones. State Farm Insurance in Webster Groves, James Carlton, 314-961-4800, or apply online at carltoninsurance.net. And then think about it. Is Doug's glue guzzler on the line?
No.
Looks like he's actually talking to Jackson.
Oh, they're talking it over.
They're
talking about fantasies, I bet.
Probably taking a scolding based on what we heard from Jackson.
He messaged me saying he wanted to be on my bag today if Jackson couldn't. His problem was, could we keep his face off the video feed?
No.
And that's what I said. I said that's a tough call because
wear a mask.
I could easily say, yeah, that's the case, but you know that you're talking 18 holes in the video footage. It's just tough.
Worth it. Not worth the headaches for us to have to try to worry about that.
I agree.
So, Doug's glue guzzler, we will politely decline your offer. If you would like to be identified in the video, then you are welcome. If not, we will have to politely decline.
Still a great guy, though.
Thank you, and God bless. We had some videos up on Friday from our round at Normandy. Doug, it got away from you, Plowhawk, but sometimes it's nice to have a bad round under your belt, and then you go out and you compete against Chris Heck, and you try to shock the world this afternoon at 2 p.m. Gateway National for the Michelob Ultra Fan Page Club Championship.
I think I agree with you, and obviously if you play Gateway and Normandy, they're almost night and day in terms of course layout. Obviously the grass is different. You got bent grass there at Gateway. Not a lot of trees at Gateway, more wide open, so... it was a bad round. Certainly wasn't thrilled with it, but I think Jackson said best, you know, that kind of, let's just say you used that in kind of your range session. And I kind of like that term to where
What'd you wind up shooting there, Nicholas?
I think I shot a tidy little 104.
That was a 104 or 105.
I 104, 105. A bunch of eights on there.
Did you?
Very positive.
The snowman cometh. Iggy, your number was set by Doug at 91.5. Somebody wanted a parlay that you wouldn't go under 91.5, but that you also wouldn't go over 100. And I don't know, Doug, what you paid on that.
That was a good
because
bet.
That's what Iggy shot 93, am I right?
I think 92.
Oh, wow.
I think going at 18, I could birdie it to shoot 91. Didn't I part?
No, everybody got a bogey.
Yeah.
So I three-putted because I drove the green.
Of course.
Well, it's a par three.
Yeah, the course wasn't big enough to hold your power.
What was it playing that 250-something?
222.
Okay, no wonder I drove it. A driver. I had a birdie putt. I guess I three putted then, so 93.
93 it is. Jackson, what did you wind up with? Your number was 88.5?
Yeah, and I shot 91.
91.
And Tim shot 80.
Shot 80. My number was 81.5.
Tim the only one under.
Yeah, but I had to birdie two of the last four in order to get home. It was not a good performance by the players.
Mm.
Look, I shot 93 with 5.7s and 2.8s.
Mm.
Think about that.
Doug, think about
it. I don't want to think much about that.
There's a lot to think
about. 5.7s would be 35, 2.8s would be 16. So 51 strokes for 7 holes and 52 strokes for the other 11. Think about it.
I'm not going to think about that.
That's why
I mean,
good
that's what happens when you shoot 93.
That's why I'm good at match play.
You have blow-up holes.
I'd have lost those 7 holes, but I'd have won the other 11, so I'd have won my match probably whoever I played, 4-3.
All right, are you going to think about it, Doug, or not?
I'm not thinking about any of it. I'm really not.
Well, I wish Chris Hack was out there because I want him to go into today's match.
Taking you lightly.
With a lot of confidence. I need that. So
yeah, you play to that. Play to that. Just let him get too much confidence. I'm going to kick his ass, and then you go out there and play your game, and you beat him.
Oh, this guy knows match play. I've pulled him aside and explained it.
Yeah.
Stop burying the lead, Tim. Can we get to the parachute Iggy was wearing during the round on Friday? Could have sailed the Mayflower with that thing.
Nice.
Your sister Catherine Patricia.
That's pretty funny, actually.
My polo was a little long.
I didn't notice it. Maybe I didn't care
as well.
I've noticed because Plowsy, like I told Tim, was wearing a cocktail napkin. How small his shirt was. And then Iggy's was way too big. I was like, we got to get these guys to like swap shirts
well,
or something.
Well, Tim had his tucked in.
I'll have mine tucked in today with pant. I'll have my high waters on.
You going to wear these new trousers you just got?
I don't want to get them dirty. And I do like to wash my pant before I wear. Just to get that initial wash in there.
Okay.
I like that with sheets as well.
Yeah, it was a little long. But who cares? It looked good.
Dotem, who has been freed for a year,
love my dude,
says Chris Hack might be the best athlete to come out of Parkway Central since Max Scherzer, his brother on the bag, is flat out stunning too.
I was wondering if he had somebody on the bag. That makes me nervous.
Did you see what Max Scherzer did this weekend?
Yeah, I saw that.
Kind of a jerky move, wasn't it?
Well, I think it's more on the game day promotion team for not.
I guess, but he could have helped that out.
Sure.
If you don't know. The Japanese ambassador to the U.S. was there to throw out the first pitch of the game. Yeah. And apparently they didn't do it like the Cardinals do it, you know, 15 minutes before the game starts. They were going to do it right before the game starts. And Scherzer went out there to start warming up in the first inning as the ambassador is walking out to the mound to throw out the first pitch. And Scherzer acts like he wasn't even there, just keeps warming up. And so the ambassador kind of looks awkwardly around and then just walks off the field. Never did get to throw out the first pitch.
Yeah, it was odd for sure. But the rest of the team was out there warming up. That's what I noticed too, Doug, was like when the Cardinals do it, it's way before the first pitch. They're doing it like with the rest of the team warming up. I was like, it's kind of odd.
Yeah, it's not Scherzer's fault that there's no communication with their marketing and promotion team.
No, but when you see what's happening, don't you think you could just say, okay, come on, throw out the first pitch. It would have taken 20 seconds.
Right. Is Scherzer supposed to know the ambassador? I mean, this could be just a random dude.
Well, just anybody.
I didn't. When I saw the video, he didn't have handlers with him. It was just a guy in a jersey walking on the mound. Now, I understand, you know, that more than likely you should be like, oh, this is probably the first pitch. But for Scherzer, like, this is just a fan that wants to kind of throw it around?
I don't know that he would have come to that conclusion.
Yeah. How would you like to ask, hey, Max Scherzer, you mind getting off the mound real quick so I can toss this ball out? I'd rather ask anybody else in the world.
Doug, look out the window. Do you see him?
Max Scherzer?
No.
Little Tommy.
Yep.
Oh, he ain't got a baseball card in it back. Yeah.
He's out there on the dirt bike. Looks like he stopped by McDonald's to get an Egg McMuffin.
I do see somebody in a $1 million motorhome has decided to camp out there on the
That could be the Tribbins' parents.
No, I think that's Fozzie's band. Fozzie's.
Oh, I thought that went Dennis and Denise.
Henry Winkler?
No, that's Fonzie. Finally. This is Chris Jericho's band. I think that's what they're traveling in.
Oh, probably so.
Little Tommy Tribbins did have time, though, to text in, and he says, a grown man who texts into an HD2 radio show by the name of Doug's Glue Guzzler is demanding anonymity on the show's social media videos. What a world. This Little Tommy Tribbins is not happy with the world he's going to grow up in.
What could but be happening? You go out to play golf, and you, for heaven forbid someone see you carrying golf clubs.
That's kind of what I told
him. Somebody
why would
will
you
go
need
look
anonymity
for
that? What
somebody
going
will go
on
look for
there?
Him and find his wife who's on OnlyFans or girlfriend. That's what they'll do. That's what some of our listeners will do. They'll try to out his OnlyFans girlfriend or wife.
Yeah,
that's
understand. Why.
Doug's Glue Guzzler is on the Steve Schmidt Kia North County phone lines. Oh. And he can respond to Little Tommy Tribbins, who is listening on his AirPods out in the parking lot. Morning, Doug's Glue Guzzler.
Jealousy, boys. That's the word of the day. Jealousy.
What up, DJ?
What are we jealous of?
Little Tommy Tribbins. He's jealous.
Of what?
His success.
Yeah, my sexual success.
Oh, okay.
All right, I got a proposition for you, boys.
Doug, are we taking offers this morning?
I don't know. I guess we will.
Who cares?
Okay. So, I know there's got to be video. What if we did the DGG cam and I took over video responsibility as I'm Plowboy's caddy?
Why do you need anonymity for this whole thing?
We've already discussed it, Doug.
Just because your wife is on OnlyFans?
Doug, we went through the hoops on this with Iggy once. We were not going to go through it again.
Pardon the hell out of me! Because everybody knows your story. You should never have to repeat yourself because the whole world knows what you're up to.
So, DGG cam, what do we think?
Doug, DGG cam.
What does that mean?
And then, Cam, if you do your own personal video, that's fine. Just you can just film my good parts, my boy parts below the waist.
I think I like it a little bit in terms of, like, the video would be funny that there's a dude who doesn't want to have his face on it, so it's just chest and legs.
Why don't you just wear a ski mask? Just wear a bag over your head.
Okay, if you weren't able to do that, I would love that.
Can you caddy in a gimp mask?
If we can guarantee that my face will not be on a camera, then when it is time, I will put a mask over my face for that moment.
Yeah, that's kind of good. They do sell those at Conoco right by my place. So.
And what happens if we guarantee it, but whoops, we made a mistake. There's your face.
Yeah, I mean, what's our upside? But we got downside? Doug, I don't do deals like that.
No.
And somebody
the upside is strictly for Plowsy. He just said he's nervous. He needs a caddy. And DGG brings party favors as a caddy, too. And
what do you bring?
What's that mean?
Would vibe well with.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine getting you a mask, but you may have to wear that the entire 18.
Sure.
This is kind of odd that you're basically you're begging your way into this caddying thing, but don't want to be seen.
I just cover the video, the DGG cam?
He would take a lot
like
off
best
of
both worlds.
Because we don't trust you.
That's up to Tim. Tim does most of the filming and does a great job of the play-by-play.
Okay. All right. Doug, you got
Tim, I know we've never met, but my hips don't lie, bro.
Oh.
Have you had an MFF recently?
I did have one this weekend, but that is not why I'm calling.
Well, I'm curious. Now that you're on, I want to live vicariously. What do you got going on?
I did, yeah. We went and saw our lady friend in Kansas City this weekend. It was a good time. We actually closed the gay bar down twice.
Flip that off.
What were you doing in there?
Those are fun times.
Doug, this gay bar, shout out to Missy B's, best dance floor I've ever been on.
And the most fun I've had is at Bastille in St. Louis.
Yeah, and you know, actually, something I did some looking up. There's a new type of style that you see a lot in the gay bars, and I thought it meant something, but I don't think it does. So you'll see a lot of gentlemen that'll be wearing bondage gear only.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but my mind went straight to, you know, maybe that's like an indication I'm a sub. But I actually couldn't find any data out there to support that hypothesis when I went searching. So.
If you don't have the nipple clamps or the ball gag, those are really just outfits for pleasure. Now, you know, you can kind of tell who's a sub because if you have the handcuffs on or if you're, you know, the ball gag is a huge red flag. Obviously, you're a sub. But yeah, I've seen the outfits too, and it's pretty cool. I wouldn't look good in leather, but there's a lot of guys that can pull it off, so I respect it.
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean anything. It's just the look, yeah.
But my problem with that is, like, what if they have to get gas on the way home? You know, maybe they're stopping by, like, you know, a Taco Bell. Do they have, like, a change of clothes after they leave the gay bar? Or are they just getting in their car with, like, the sweaty leather?
Pablo, something I really noticed is a lot of people at the gay bar do not go home alone. That is not very common.
Yeah, I could see that, too. I went home alone.
What were you doing in there?
Oh, dude, Bastille, I get free drink there all the time. Dude. They love twinks. They freaking love twinks, bro.
They just look at you and say, there's a twink. How about a Budweiser?
I'm not patting myself on the back, but like I am like a high prize commodity at a game.
Is that right?
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
Because you have that hog on that tiny frame.
Well, if there's anyone that can judge a hog, it's a gay guy because it's not all about you know, stature, and I think they look beyond the body type, yep. and they look right. for the confidence, and they got the hog sense.
Oh.
Sorry,
delve further into this.
A lot of gay bar activities, staffic play. So I'm in the Uber, actually. I wonder what that Uber driver was thinking, but
there was staffic play in your Uber.
What's up?
There was staffic play in your Uber.
Yeah, a couple times. Interesting. Wow.
This Doug's glue guzzler's got it all figured out.
He sure he does.
Just needs to be anonymous golf tournament with a bunch of guys shooting in above 80.
For you, but I think it'd be good for Plowhawk since he's already nervous. And we would just call the DGG cam. And I guess if you needed to do an individual, try to keep my face out or I'll wear a sexy ski mask.
No, whatever works. Whatever's best for Plowhawk's fine with me.
I'll let you know, DGG. We'll keep you posted. Obviously, I'll let you know well before the tee time.
Word. Question, is it 1 p.m. at Gateway? Is
207.
That
207.
One mountain.
One mountain. Got it. Word.
207?
All right.
207.
All right, later, DJ. Well, I'll hit you up.
I'll be eating at 7.
Bye, boys. Peace.
All right, Guzzler.
Sounds like Iggy's withdrawing from being on my bag.
Oh, no, I'm there.
Okay.
Should be a late night of eating. That's all.
Why don't you catch a hot dog at the turn?
There's food everywhere.
I usually eat at 4.
You should see this snack bag I have here, ready for the tournament.
What's he got in there?
Donuts, sour Skittles, a Milky Way. My bag going to be set.
Guys, imagine the ego of this jackass to think that people could possibly do a deep dive into his life after seeing his walrus face on a random golf video from a Shishawali tournament. Drink bleach, DGG. That's from right. Midge.
Right.
You understand it from
it's
both
a nice
parties.
Little text from
I understand
Mitch.
It from him, but I also understand it from our point of view as well. Why you would
this
know.
Guy thinks he's way too cool? Bleach martini, if you please. Where have you gone, caller Luke? That's from Sister Catherine Patricia.
Yeah, we miss Luke. Tales from the club.
Think
anonymous. Jesus, DGD's a desperate loser who you can tell by the extra 30 girth that he's part of the walrus community. That's from the Concord Cock.
Well, he's not. I've met him.
Where have you met him? Gay bar.
Golf course a couple of times where he gave me a password that didn't work.
Password for what?
For his wife's OnlyFans.
Oh.
The private one.
Plowsy, go ahead and get that ski mask for Doug's glue guzzler, but make sure it's filled with poisonous gas. Die, you loser. Doug, that's from Little Tommy Tribbins. Gosh. There must be something in that McMuffin out there.
I think he just fell.
Violent. They don't say, no, we don't want him to be a part of it. They say, die, you loser, after suffering a hideous burns from a mask.
What do you got to be upset about? Is it not a gorgeous day? You're on your little bike out there riding around out of care in the world?
Our listeners want some of the callers dead.
This loser has a higher opinion of himself than that old, dried-up, uncut, quote-unquote producer has of himself. There is a 0% chance this loser had an MFF this weekend and a 100% chance he called in just to spin this ridiculous story. Get this loser off the air.
Oh.
Nathan from the East Side Alton.
Yeah.
Well, I'll defend him. Tim asked the question. He answered it.
Yep. He didn't call in to talk about it.
Yep.
I know he's, I guess he and his wife have a girlfriend. What
a great thing. City.
Like
in
a
Kansas
unicorn, City. Yeah. They have their own unicorn.
And together they went to the gay bar with a great dance floor.
That's correct.
So I guess the unicorn is either lesbian or bi, obviously.
Nice.
Got together
Look
with his
us.
Wife.
We're not going to slip a breaking ball by us.
Yeah, but who does a threesome with like?
Well, she has to be bi for him to be participating. If she was a lesbian, she wouldn't want him in bed.
Right.
Well, I know that, but it's just the gay bar is just a weird try to find a third party there.
Well, I think they already had her. That's where they went to dance.
Well, that takes up a lot of room at the gay bar for people that are actually looking for love.
What?
You got three people and not even available.
A lot of times at bars, though, the people have already found their significant other and they're just there for the evening.
I get that. You clearly have never been to a gay bar, but...
No.
So those three people kind of messed it up for everybody?
Everybody's single at a gay bar? Nobody walks in attached?
No. I think you walk in with your ambitions in the wind and, you know, play it by ear.
Ambitions in the wind.
Ambitions in the wind. That's
that
a new text
like a
in my name.
Didn't Peter, Paul, and Mary do that?
Ambitions in the wind. That's correct.
The answer, my friend, ambition in the wind.
Sang it about a
gay. Engineer Design Facilities is sponsoring the night before the Dotem party at Maggie O'Brien's in Sunset Hills. An EDF will be raffling off a dinner for four with wine pairings at Olive and Oak and four all-inclusive Stiefel Bowl and Bear Club tickets to a Blues game next fall during the 2022-2023 regular season. All raffle tickets proceeds will go to Birdies for Bipolar in efforts to raise the capital needed for the Veterans Golf Simulator mission at Arlington. It's Birdies for Bipolar and Engineer Design Facilities, the raffle this Wednesday night at Maggie O'Brien's in Sunset Hills, where we will have TMA Live Jennings Randolph Jr. coming up from Sullivan and Lisa Ann coming in from Manhattan. Why don't you come to Sunset Hills for what promises to be a pony? It's Engineer Design Facilities. And if you're interested in doing business with them, email them fire@edf-rg.com. Or you can check out their website, fire@edf-rg.com, is how you can email them, or check them out at edf-rg.com. And if you could, think about it. It's the Appliance Discounters, 8 o'clock hour. Appliance Discounters, sponsor by 8 o'clock hour. Your hometown appliance source featuring major brands like GE. Before I go into this story, there goes Chris Jericho just walking past if you're watching on YouTube. It's a brief appearance.
Okay.
Supposed to be on KC at 9.
We got him.
Maybe he's using the little wizard's room.
Yeah, probably.
Yep. Did anybody read the story in the Post-Dispatch detailing the comings and goings and goings and comings of the Rams leaving St. Louis?
Yes, I did.
Okay. God bless. Wonderful. Anybody else?
No, I saw it and didn't read it.
Doug, we will have a conversation.
Okay.
What stood out to you about the story?
Oh, I guess what stood out in the big picture is that we kind of thought all this was true. We kind of knew this was going on, and the Rams just denied it, lied and lied and lied, and including Roger Goodell at press conferences before the Super Bowl, even lied about it then. Also, it stood out that even more so that the rich and powerful control the politicians in this country, with Stan Kroenke saying, well, sure, me and Maxine Waters, we're good friends. We'll take care of everything in L.A.
And not to worry about Jay Nixon, because they knew he wanted to become a senator, which right. was his mm-hmm. goal. He's actually in the mix, I think, to be Hillary Clinton's running mate pre-Ferguson. And that was in an email. Eric Grubman, who we always kind of thought was sincere.
Oh, my gosh.
No, we kind of pinpointed him right at the start as he was being a flim-flam man.
Eric Grubman, who stood in front of St. Louisans, San Diegans? And Oaklanders?
I think it'd probably be Oaklanders.
Is Jericho just rocking back and forth? Does he want to come on? I mean, he just keeps walking back and forth. This is nervous. Like you when I was interviewing Learn the Podcast.
It's like a stormy combatant.
I mean, if he wants to come on.
He's nervous.
Eric Grubman sent this email. Now, again, when he stood in St. Louis and Oakland and San Diego, he said, we want to keep all the franchises in their cities.
Yeah.
That was in October of 2015. Now, unfortunately, he sent this email before October 2015, and it was in Discovery. Quote, I am trying to get a terrific LA opportunity to materialize, and I want to do it under the cover of darkness.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Stan Kroenke told Roger Goodell via email, we're going to try very hard to stay under the radar screen, and nobody will know we bought it. We will stay hidden, which is what we want, for as long as we can. That was after he bought the Hollywood Park land. That was well before 2015. This stuff is, you know, I actually thought it was, while it did indeed confirm a lot of what we thought, to see it actually in email form is something else. Major recommended reading. It's kind of unfortunate, and I don't know the reasoning. They did all this reporting at the Post-Dispatch. It's just it's one of those things that it sucks in the sense that it came out like Friday afternoon at 2. You know what I mean? That's
right.
Like something like this. In an ideal world, I'm sure they had, you know, smart reasoning for it, but in an ideal world, this is the kind of thing that comes out like on a Sunday morning or Monday morning.
And it's really a shame it didn't come out about 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Before they moved.
How do you think that the Rams and their legal team feel? The reason they settled is they didn't want all the stuff out. Now they settled and it's all coming out anyway.
Oh, I think they settled because they didn't want to have to pay more. I think this is one of the reasons, but the bigger one being paying more and going through trial. Kroenke and Kevin Demoff began talking about L.A. in the summer of 2013. For the record, the interview in which he said there is no secret plan with me and Jim Edmonds was October of 2014. And I know he said some things to Randy Carricker and DeMarco Farr on 101 around that same time. And one of the talking points was Stan buys real estate all over the world. There's no reason to think that this is for a stadium development. That is actually, I believe, on YouTube from 101 ESPN's channel with Randy and DeMarco mm-hmm. Farr. And that actual line that Stan buys real estate all over the world was concocted, per this story, by the NFL's PR and their head counsel. So that was a PR message that they decided in order to try to keep it quiet. In March 2014, Kroenke and his partner in the Hollywood Park land deal discussed keeping the deal quiet to maximize 2014 ticket sales by avoiding any unnecessary publicity about the possible departure of the Rams. So, Doug, throughout the years, I have always said, I wonder what the deal is with him just being so hush-hush about everything. And you always said, it's got to be about ticket sales. I don't get the ticket sales. I just can't imagine for a deal this big. You were right. I was wrong.
They want every last penny they
Absolutely.
Can get.
Absolutely. And that's what it was. That was the reasoning. By the end of the whole thing, just two of the NFL team owners voted against the Rams' move. If you're interested in adopting an NFL team, I would recommend the Cincinnati Bengals. They're awfully exciting, and their owner, Mike Brown, was the only one voting against the relocation to L.A. and was outspoken about it. Quote, there's nothing wrong with the markets where these teams play now, he said at a meeting in 2015. That's Mike Brown, owner of the Bengals. I don't think he is necessarily considered one of the great owners in the league. I think, if anything, it might be the opposite. But as far, maybe it's because he's principled. I don't know. And with this one, I mean, here he is. And he's a guy in Cincinnati who, if anything, you would think would be a candidate to potentially leave because he's, you know, in a kind of a St. Louis-esque market. The league indeed contemplated at one point the Raiders moving to St. Louis with restructured ownership and a brand makeover. That is something that I was told about either in December of 2014 or January 2015, and I recall doing an interview with Fred Rogan in Los Angeles on his radio show, and I remember talking about that with him, and he just laughed at me. He goes, the Raiders to St. Louis? What are you talking about? I mean, it was like a caricature interview. I'm like, oh, God, I'm on one of these shows. How did I agree to do this? But, I mean, I knew that it was live, and the information was good. That they were considering moving another team to St. Louis. And it happened to be the Raiders with restructured ownership and a brand makeover. In addition to all of this, and like I said, I would suggest reading it. It does have the story about Kroenke driving around Hollywood Park at 5:15 in the morning. Hollywood Park is not necessarily the most lovely area. But that is where he did indeed wind up building the stadium, right by where the Forum still is and where the stadium is now in Inglewood. And with the city refusing to upgrade the Edward Jones Dome, the Rams could give notice to leave as soon as 2015, he said. And according to notes taken by a league attorney, Kroenke, whose wife is Ann Walton, already had a line on the first chunk of land at Hollywood Park. It belonged to Walmart. And the company wanted to sell. Moreover, he had political connections in the area. Quote, U.S. Representative Maxine Waters is a very good friend, he said, and the mayor of Inglewood is a hell of a guy. He has already jumped on our train. If you recall, and I don't recall what the year was. I want to say it was November 2014. We found it. A listener found this article in a newspaper in Inglewood. It's not the L.A. Times, but the Inglewood newspaper, in which Mayor James Butts won re-election, and he is quoted at the campaign speech celebrating his win, saying, and I'm meeting with the NFL tomorrow. We talked about it on the show that day. And within hours, that was removed from the story. That is a 100% true story, which just always speaks to they were always listening. And by they, I mean it was Demoff. I mean, not that that's groundbreaking crap. Goodell said he'd met with Jay Nixon and expressed concern that he might not take leaving lying down. Nixon had threatened to sue the league as state attorney general in the 1990s, but Kroenke didn't seem concerned. Quote, he's not a bad guy. He wants to be senator, and we can be helpful to him.
We can buy him off. Yeah.
How about that? That's a quote. This is a quote. With regards to his plans, at Rams Park, work was beginning on an endgame. Kevin Demoff had gotten through the NFL's relocation rules and wrote to Kroenke that they had a good shot at passing muster, but they had to get the messaging right. The league would require proof that they really tried to work out the dome dispute, and St. Louis would likely offer a new stadium demo set. How about that? So they knew that St. Louis would likely offer a new stadium. The Rams had to prove that even with a new stadium, St. Louis had, quote, long-term challenges and was an unwise investment for both us and our league partners. He suggested paying for a study to show it. Quote, in the end, whatever engagement strategy we embark upon should be designed not to win over St. Louis, but rather to win over New York. So, in other words, they were going to rig the study. Mm-hmm. In January 2014, just weeks after Kroenke closed on the first piece of Hollywood Park land, the NFL heard from a reporter in L.A. looking to write a story right before the Super Bowl and asking for a comment from the league. Grubman, the league executive. Now, keep in mind, again, I want to emphasize this. That's January of 2014, nearly 24 months before Grubman would stand in front of fans in St. Louis, San Diego, and Oakland. And Grubman is quoted via email on trying to handle this. Grubman, the league executive tasked with getting a team to L.A., emailed Goodell, asking whether they should reach out to Kroenke. If we do, it is harder to play dunce, Grubman wrote an email on January 28, 2014. Keep in mind, he stood in front of St. Louisans in October of 2015. If we don't, we will not have his side. They went with option two. They also offered some pointers on deflection. Spokesman Greg Aiello emailed Demoff the next day and told him that Goodell and Jeff Pasch, the league attorney, thought the Rams should stay out of the story and let Kroenke's real estate company comment. The Rams took advice, and then the statement became, as real estate developers, the Kroenke organizations are involved in numerous real estate deals across the country and North America, the statement said. We have not yet decided what we're going to do with the property. So that is exactly what Roger Goodell said at the Super Bowl. Stan is a very large developer on a global basis. He has land throughout the country and throughout the world. There are no plans, to my knowledge, of a stadium development. So Goodell stood up and lied in front of the press at the Super Bowl.
You just wonder if anyone but us will care. If anyone around the rest of the country, any of the major media outlets, if they'll care.
I think the ship has sailed unless there is some kind of documentary on this.
I imagine the
NFL will do whatever they can to never let that happen.
Yeah, ESPN's not going to do a documentary. They're partners with the league.
I have to ask, though, like with all of this coming out, and it's, I mean, to say that it, obviously we knew this is one thing, but actually have it come out with emails is completely different. Why is there a settlement then? Like, this is damning.
Well, have you ever slayed a dragon?
I mean, I understand, you know, you want to get that quick money in. There is no way you can walk around those. That, I mean, there's email proof. You're talking 20-some-odd months, almost 2 years before them saying, you know, we want to keep St. Louis here. It's sabotage. This is $1 billion article right here, and I just do not understand how.
There's a settlement because the lawyers want to make sure they get their $200 million. Once you go to court, anything can happen.
You don't know.
You might get a bad verdict, and you might lose and get nothing. So if you're the law firm, and you've worked on this for a couple of years, and you're looking at a cut of a couple hundred million dollars, wouldn't you settle?
As a lawyer, though, you're looking at all this information, and you say, oh, no, this will go the other way in a trial. This is almost a slam dunk can get. It's not he said, she said. It's actual email proof. It's actual articles. It's all of this stuff that is right there in front of you, right there for the jury to see. It's not, you know, I mean, there's no disputing that. I mean, I don't know how a defense attorney can look at those emails and say.
So how much more would they have gotten in court? Maybe they get $1 billion. Maybe you get another $200 million. Maybe the lawyers get another third of that.
Well, the quote you said.
But that, again, that's at risk, well, as opposed to the sure thing when they settle.
A minute and a half ago, you said, I wish people nationally cared. Well, they probably would have cared if you go to trial. All the eyes would have been on the NFL and this trial if you would have waited till it went to trial. I understand the attorney's thing, but how can you defend that as a defense attorney and making it think that they were in good faith working with St. Louis?
Caller Ellen says, Doug cannot be more wrong, but I don't know what she's referring to.
About what? About the attorneys wanting the money?
Caller Ellen, what are you referring to?
I wouldn't disagree with you on that they wanted the money. I just cannot believe you look at all this information.
You're welcome to call in if you would like, or just to call via text.
Unless you hear from both parties that tell us what happened there, because the lawyers will say that we just give it to our clients and whatever. If they decide they want to go to trial, we're going to trial. All we can do is give advice. Did they give advice? And the people involved said, well, we want to take it to trial, and they talked them out of it. I'd like to know what the back and forth was.
I'm not sure anything even illegal ever took place here.
No.
Unethical, for sure. Lying, for sure. But There's a lot of business that gets done just exactly how the Rams did it, where you lie, no, we're not going there. Well, no, we have no intention of all of buying that property. Okay, we did it, and now we're going to put up a business there. I mean, that happens all the time, unfortunately. It's just the fact that in this case, they lied about it, and they represent a product that millions of people have an emotional investment in, and they're wearing the name St. Louis across their forehead, and they represent us, and they lied to us, the very fans that they were representing them. I don't think they did anything at all that's illegal, did they? In fact, it was that arbitration hearing that went against us, that ultimately is what led to it all, because they said, yep, St. Louis is going to have to spend $700 million to redo the stadium, and Shrewsbury said, we just don't have the money to do that. We can't do it. And that's exactly what Kroenke wanted to hear. Oh, good, we're going to be able to get out of this contract. So I don't think they've done anything illegal through any of it. I mean, it's despicable, the lying and everything. It's horrible how they went about doing it, but I don't know that anything was illegal.
I don't know. All of this could have changed the landscape of the NFL 20 years from now. I think this is just the beginning. You have Carolina with some issues. You have a lot of teams, Jacksonville. I mean, they've been an issue for 5 to 10 years. And we could have prevented that with showing the nation what exactly the NFL is about. Excuse me, how these relocations went down. The guidelines are a joke. I mean, they even said it. They're, you know, basically a joke. They're, yeah, you know, set in stone. They could have prevented teams moving under in darkness. I mean, that would have.
I could be off
that.
The mark on all of this, and I'm saying that not from a, you know, protection standpoint of the statement, but, you know, I don't know. But I don't know why, especially since they acknowledge in the emails that they were talking in November of 2014, so, you know, more than a year from the vote, about giving St. Louis a franchise. So they're acknowledging St. Louis is not a bad market. That was one of the things that tilted so many people in St. Louis. Like, we know you want to leave. And I get him wanting to leave. I get the league wanting him to be the owner there. I get it, because he can privately finance the build of the stadium. I get all of that. I don't, and in that respect, I don't blame Stan Kroenke. It's the way in which they handled it that they caused problems. And you sit there and go, I think the league probably now is happy that the Raiders are in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You know? But the Chargers thing is the thing that, to me, I just don't understand that. I just don't understand that, and that could have been the solution. And I realize, I'm sure around the country you go, well, what's a better market football? Not that it matters what people would vote, but I'm sure they would say, well, San Diego is, you know, it's a better city and all of that. So, you know, what city is better than San Diego? But for football, they weren't going to build a stadium, and St. Louis was. And so from that standpoint, if you did want to put a franchise in St. Louis, that would be the one. Because Spanos' ownership situation is also not exactly.
But he's still got to agree to go there.
No, I understand, but he is in legal with his family over his ownership. So that's the thing about the Charger situation. That's why I was like, what are they going to do with Davis? Force him to sell? Because that's what they're saying. It was going to be a restructured ownership. It wasn't going to be Davis in St. Louis.
They could at least force him to get a haircut.
The bowl cut.
God, he looked horrible. I think they probably threw Oakland out there just hoping to avoid this $700 million settlement. Well, maybe if we give St. Louis a team, we won't get sued.
That's not an even trade for the NFL, though, I don't think. I think they would be more comfortable losing $700 million than forcing a team into a city they don't want to have.
Well, except at the time, they couldn't have known that it would be just $700 million.
Shocker. They knew it could have been more, but the attorneys working on the case didn't.
Right.
But I don't know, well, if you wanted eyes nationally on it, then, you know, the problem was the settlement. So my
overall thing is this, is what's the narrative about St. Louis as a football city around the country? Lost two teams, don't deserve a team. That's it. You can sum it up real quickly. Whether people, because most people haven't been here around the country. That's just the reality of it. Just like most of us haven't been to take your pick of whatever other kind of...
Cleveland.
Yes, that would be a nice example. Mm-hmm. Detroit. You know, comparable cities that aren't on the coasts. So with all of that said, oh, St. Louis doesn't deserve a team. They've lost two teams. St. Louis did not lose the Rams. Stan Kroenke, unlike Spanos and unlike Davis, was positioned to privately finance a building in Los Angeles. He was the guy. If Dean Spanos could have been that guy, they would have done whatever they needed to do to have Spanos get there. If Mark Davis could have done it, even with as goofy as it is. They would have had him be the guy there. But Kroenke could do it, and so they were going to manipulate in whatever way they needed to in order to get it done. And so St. Louis wasn't just a victim, quote-unquote, of losing its team. St. Louis was a victim of the narrative that they built to justify the move. And that is the thing that personally drives me up the wall. Again, I'll keep saying it over and over again, and I was saying it while it was going on. I get Kroenke wanting to do it, and I get the NFL wanting him to do it. It all makes sense from a business standpoint. Totally get it. He doubled the value of his franchise by making the move. I get that. And while it might not be popular here, I totally understand it, and it makes sense. But the issue that I have is that it was a false narrative that didn't necessarily need to go down because, like you said, when Jim Shrewsbury told them, we don't have the money, we can't do it, at that moment they really were free and clear. But they went about it in a way, I don't know why they had to go down that road. So then it became, the way it could have gone down, and I realize, you know, this is Monday morning quarterbacking in a sense, is Stan Kroenke once owns this franchise and he's going to take it back to Los Angeles. And St. Louis couldn't meet it. That should have been the messaging from the get-go. For whatever reason, they wanted to go covert. And that's what wound up costing them $750 million. It didn't have to be that way. We are going to leave. This is an issue. Instead, he never talked. But it's not a case of St. Louis being a bad market. The issue is we got a guy who can privately finance a building in Los Angeles. You know, doing that transparently was not the route that they took, and it cost them $750 million.
Yeah, I guess the reason they went covert is they didn't want to have three or four seasons go by with a completely empty dome when the Rams played here.
Well, it only wound up being one more season after they had decided in 2014. But yeah, that was the whole thing that I couldn't for the life of me figure out. And it turns out they wanted to maximize season ticket revenue. I mean, just it's like we're going to
every
squeeze,
last dollar.
Yeah, it's just it's. Yeah. That was the thing, and you were right, and I was wrong on that. All right, we got a break. We are late for a break. It's the Appliance Discounters 8 o'clock hour wrapping up. Maggie O'Brien's 9 o'clock hour coming up next. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning Game.
Hi, I'm your unused PTO. It's almost the end of the year, and if you don't put me on a timesheet, I will be gone forever. Use me or lose me. Let's get away.
It's getaway time. Get our best deals of the season on a new Hyundai. It's your journey. Own every mile at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR, zero payments for 90 days, and 1,000 bonus cash on select vehicles. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Hurry, the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event ends January 3rd. Call 1-562-314-4603 for offer details.